Chapter 22. If you can't destroy it, hide it. Opening questions. What would be some good ways to hide important written truths? If a truth exists and cannot be destroyed outright, what would be a good way to attack it or make it of no effect? Was it a good idea to place the four gospel books containing the life and teachings of Joshua of Nazareth in the Bible? Why do so many Christians use a belief of Paul to define their whole or primary standard of understanding God instead of having the person and sayings of Jesus or Joshua of Nazareth as their standard? A parable is a story with a hidden meaning, which meaning addresses something important. These parables are about something extremely valuable which has been lost. Please have ears to hear and consider these parables. Imagine you were kidnapped and put in a horrible place, and other than the kidnapper, there was only one person on the planet who knew where you were. Fortunately, this person cared about you, and although they were halfway around the planet, they knew someone near you who could rescue you. So, they wrote a message to the prospective rescuer telling him exactly where you were and how you could be rescued. They then mailed the message to the prospective rescuer. The message arrived at the remote post office. However, the post office employee only delivered mail to the rescuer occasionally. So he took the letter and placed it in a large envelope with many other letters to the rescuer. And on the outside of that envelope was written, "The Envelope of Important Messages." By the time the rescue letter was delivered to the rescuer, it was just one note among many hundreds in a large envelope labeled, "The Envelope of Important Messages." Therefore, your note was drowned in a sea of other people's notes, and thus you had little hope of being free from your bondage anytime soon. Here is another illustration to help you understand what has been lost. Imagine you are stranded on a remote island with only one piece of paper, pen, and bottle. So you write a note to tell those who find the bottle where you are and your situation, and you throw the bottle into the ocean. The bottle finds a current which carries the bottle towards land, but there are thousands of other bottles in that current as well. It seems there were many people who, while not desperately needing to be rescued like yourself, nevertheless greatly enjoyed putting messages in bottles and throwing them into the ocean. Unfortunately for you, all those other bottles found their way to the same current which carried your bottle, and thus your bottle arrives at the beach with thousands of other like bottles containing, quote, urgent, but pretend or false, messages. Thus, you have little hope of your message being found anytime soon, and little hope as well of getting free from the captivity of the island. Perhaps the most accurate illustration of that which has been lost would be as follows. Let us say you wandered into a huge and dangerous city, dangerous due to the many people who would like to use you for their own selfish purposes, and you got yourself lost in a maze of streets and you desperately need directions out of the city. Let us say that a person who knows the way out of the dangerous city because they made it out has clearly and concisely written the directions down in two sentences on a page of paper. That person makes those clear directions available to any who request them, and many groups and organizations of people take the directions and use them for their own purposes. In your case, the person you request the directions from is a member of one of those organizations, and that organization feels they need to add to the directions, even though they don't know for certain the way out of the city, because they have never been out of the city. So, they write on a copy of the correct directions their beliefs on how to get out of the city. And so, when you are handed the one-page document, the two sentences containing the way to freedom are surrounded by many sentences which contain errors, and which at best confuse you and at worst hide the truth in the two sentences of the way out of the dangerous city. Thus, you don't find your way out of the dangerous city because in your sincere effort to read the directions, you get more and more lost due to the confusion caused by the errors and inconsistencies contained in that page. To continue that illustration, let us say that many people regularly get lost in a large and dangerous city, and so there is a regular need for clear directions out of the city. However, the main authority of the city benefits economically from having more people in their city, even if some are lost and don't want to be there. The paper with the two sentences of clear directions becomes well known amongst the city dwellers, as well as the one page that contains both the two sentences of clear directions surrounded by the erroneous opinions of others. The city authority and those who run the organizations give to those people lost in their city the confused and error-ridden one page of directions instead of the two clear sentences that tell people how to get out. They do this because they discovered that when they give the people the document with errors, more people stay in their city, and they all have much to gain from that. They justify it by saying clever but misleading things like, well, the directions document does contain the truth, and the directions document contains the way out, like we say. Thus, they tell a clever half-truth, and thus deceive themselves and those they hand the directions to. So, the city authority and organizations formally make a diligent practice of telling people that the one-page document is the truth that people need to get free from their lostness in the city. They also tell those people who find out about the page with the two clear sentences of correct directions that that document is, quote, inadequate, incomplete, and too simple, and people should not rely solely on that document or its instructions. Now, if a person looking to escape the city respects that authority, person, more than wanting to know truth, the correct directions, then what will happen to their ability to find their way out of the city? Will it not be compromised at best or destroyed at worst? If disagreeing with the authority will have uncomfortable consequences or even cost the person something they want, won't they be in an even worse situation to find the truth buried in that one page? One final step to complete the illustration. In the same way, what if there is a book which contains 66 chapters, and only 4 of the 66 chapters contain what you need to be set free? And what if an authority that many people respect, including yourself, and who claims to know the book better than you, tells you that all 66 chapters contain the truth that you need to be set free? And what if they tell you that the 4 chapters which contain what you need to be set free is, quote, inadequate, insufficient, and incomplete? If you respect the authority more than wanting to know the truth, then what will happen to your ability to find the actual truth in the 4 chapters? Will it not be compromised at best or destroyed at worst? And what if the cost of rejecting the authority's beliefs about the book will mean you will be rejected from your family and your cherished social or religious circles of friends? Perhaps you will pretend the dangerous city is not so bad after all. Or perhaps you actually like the dangerous city, and thus you are not looking to be set free since you have deceived yourself and think you already are. Which brings us directly to that which is most valuable, which has been lost. What if there is a man who said, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me, unquote, and, quote, if you continue in my word, teachings, truths, then you are truly disciples of mine, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, unquote. And he performed many miracles, including defeating death, to prove what he said was true. But others come along after he leaves, and like countless others to come, they say that they have the truth that people need to be accepted by God, to be set free from the things that bind us. And they place these people's words in a big book along with the one sure and final word of God, and say, quote, this whole book is truth, not just the person who says, I am the truth, unquote. And the religious authorities who like exercising authority over others and who enjoy the lifestyle they gain from the people paying them for their position say, you need more than the red letters. You need the whole counsel of God's word, and you need us to understand it. And as years and decades and centuries pass, the book is handed down from generation to generation, each generation before it, listening not to the light, but to the other voice, saying that the whole book contains the truth that people need. And if a person can't understand the book due to the errors or contradictions or complexity, the people's religious leaders say, oh, well, you need us, or Christian leader so-and-so, or Bible scholar so-and-so, to understand the book. And the religious leaders whose authority and people respect point people to themselves and the book, as well as many other voices, both dead and living, in addition to the one who says, I am the truth, and they say, well, the book and all these other voices which quote the book are the truth you need to know God, not just the one who says, I am the truth. Not just the one who says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If this happened, then isn't the truth of the statements above by the one who says, quote, I am the truth, unquote, lost? As the people look to the book and other words and other voices, and those other words and voices nullify, cancel, or make of no effect the one who says, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life, quote, unquote, and quote, all who are of the truth listen to my voice, unquote. Those eternally valuable truths of, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me, and if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and then you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Then has been drowned out, nullified, buried, lost. Remember the dangerous city above and the two sets of directions to get free from the city? Does it sound familiar now? And so, that which is extremely valuable and which has been lost has been revealed. The Father, Creator, sent one beloved, ever-free messenger, one voice, who can bring freedom from your hopelessness, but his voice has been drowned out, hidden, nullified, obscured, largely lost. The beloved one says plainly, quote, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. That's in Matthew 11:27. And, quote, this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Messiah Joshua, whom you have sent. Unquote. That's John 17:3. No one knows the Father except the Son, and a person's eternal destiny is based on knowing the Father by looking only to the one who knows him. And yet people do not listen to the Son, but instead listen to all the other voices that say they represent the Son, especially Bible author voices. It is difficult to receive. It's a difficult truth to receive, but in truth, the teachings of the one who calls himself the light of the world have been covered, buried, and for all practical purposes, lost. His voice has been drowned out by thousands and thousands of other voices. In fact, at the most essential level, his voice has been replaced by a book, the Bible or the Scripture or God's Word, by a clever sleight of hand the Apostle Paul provides, which says that the book is his voice. His statements, the ones of the light of the world, such as, quote, all who are of the truth listen to my voice, unquote, and, quote, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, unquote, have been changed and corrupted to things like, all who are of the truth listen to the Bible with all its 700,000 words and its many contradictory precepts, accounts, and teachings, and, nor does anyone know the Father except the other people who wrote the Bible, thus pointing people away from the only one who knows the Father firsthand and perfectly. The one the light refers to as the prince of the world is the author of the great lie, just as he is the father of all lies about God and human existence. The great lie is that the light of the world is not all one needs to overcome darkness and death. The prince of the world has had many agents to spread the great lie. However, there was one agent who people chose to make up most of what they would call the New Testament, the one called the Apostle Paul, who would be particularly useful in propagating the great lie. We will look at that a bit later in more detail. Perhaps the reader has believed the falsehood that the Bible has no contradictions. Here is just one of many. Quote, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. they have become my enemies, unquote. That's David in Psalms 139, 21, and 22. Of course, the Biblians Paulians say that this was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whatever that means. And furthermore, quote, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. That's Ecclesiastes 3:8. And, quote, then Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now listen to the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek, your enemies, and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey, unquote. Now let's contrast those things to this saying of the one of the light of the world, quote, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Unquote. That's Matthew 5, verse 43 through 45. Now, one can pretend there is no contradiction, but that only proves that one is not listening to the one who says, I am the truth, and instead wants to emulate a lawyer. Unfortunately, they are deceived by Paul's teaching of all scripture being inspired by God, and they will defend plain contradictions to protect their key belief that allows them to bury and thus ignore the light in the book. With all the dozens of Bible versions of hundreds of books about Christ, it should be curious to the reader that there are very few which use only the light's words to tell us who he is. Why is that so? Very few concerned about focusing wholeheartedly on his person and his teachings only. Perhaps, just perhaps, it is for these reasons. Quote, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Unquote. And, quote, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Unquote. And, quote, many who claim to speak for God but don't will arise and will mislead many. Unquote. And, quote, for false leaders and those who claim to speak for God but don't will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even my chosen ones. Unquote. That's Matthew 24. Maybe the truth is that the one voice that brings freedom offends the vast majority because they love their life in this world more than they love their Heavenly Father. Perhaps Biblians are especially loath to turn to the light because they very much like believing that they are saved while they continue to not forsake anything this world offers and thus continue to love their life in the world. In summary, the basic problem is that people are not looking to Joshua of Nazareth. Instead, the people have substituted a large book and can be used to justify any behavior, including those that nullify or contradict the person who said, quote, I am the life, and quote, love your enemies. They have chosen the wrong standard to know God and what God wants, and being that they regularly read and counter, have easily available to them the teachings of the light, they are most accountable. In the next chapter, we will take a closer look at how the Bible is the main prop in the false play that is Christianity. Chapter summary. If truth about something or someone important cannot be destroyed due to a small number of people successfully propagating it to a point where it cannot be contained, i.e. it broke out, then a good way to try and get rid of that truth is to hide it and attack it through various means. Christians have buried and hidden the truths of the light of the world in a giant religious book they call the Bible, which book many people worship or substitute for the person and teachings of Joshua of Nazareth. Christians are so confused about the difference between the Bible, meaning the opinions of the authors of the 66 books of the Protestant Bible, and the accounts and sayings of Joshua of Nazareth that they generally cannot distinguish between the two. This is largely caused by people choosing to believe Paul's teaching that, quote, the scripture is inspired of God, unquote. The word of God to humanity is Joshua of Nazareth, not the Bible or the scripture. Paul is wrong and Joshua is right.